This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by Patrick Young. Patrick is the president of Population Health for Hackensack Meridian. Hackensack Meridian is this great health system that's a mix of a great academic medical center and a great community system, and really came together through the merger several years ago of Hackensack University Medical Center and Meridian Health Network, and a magnificent system. Patrick's going to talk to us about Population Health. Patrick, can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Thank you, Scott, and thank you for having me on your podcast. Yes, I'm president of Population Health for Hackensack Meridian Health, and at HMH, that really means that I'm responsible for a number of areas. One is payer contracting, all the care coordination that takes place at the hospital, and then for post-acute for care coordinators around nurses and social workers. I also handle our community outreach, as well as our social determinants of health and our various ACOs that I'm responsible for. So it's a pretty robust responsibility, one that the organization has allowed me to take responsibility for, because a lot of these are interrelated, which I think is critical for coordinating care and improving the quality of care that people receive.
Thank you very much. To focus on population health, and I know you'll touch on some of these other areas in doing so, talk to us about three of the big trends you see in population health.
Sure. The three trends that I'm seeing is really, the first one I would say is technology. You know, we've talked a little bit about that as a country, we're seeing telemedicine really moving into its own, relevant to people receiving care. So I'm also seeing that there's new evolution of it. So it's also patient monitoring, having discussions with organizations around medical homes, so individuals can actually go home and receive a lot of services that they may receive at the hospital. So technology is having a profound impact on how people receive care and where they receive the care. Secondarily, I would say is that social determinants of health is another trend that we're seeing. We believe that you need to treat the patient in their totality. So, you know, we're looking at not just the clinical aspects of care, which would traditionally what most organizations have done, but also on the social aspects of care, and really combining those two together along with the primary care physician and specialist to provide a better quality of life for the individual. So social determinants of health is something that we're seeing is a very developing trend, and one that we're very committed to. And then lastly, I would say is useful data. I think that there's been a lot of data around for many years, but you need to make sure that that data is useful. We work with an organization called Cerner. We use their Healthy Intent platform. It helps clinicians close care gaps. We identify that care gaps around reaching out to members around preventive screenings and immunizations. We have another organization called Lumeris who helps us with stratification of that population, so we can identify those individuals appropriately, reach out to them, intervene. So I think useful data is another big trend that's taking place in population health.
So I love your use of the term useful data, because so much data over the years has been thrown at people, there's been so much of it, it's unfiltered, and it's really not useful. Talk for a moment about the evolution towards useful data and how much more thought it takes to categorize and use data to make it useful. Talk a little bit about useful data.
Sure. So useful data, and we look at the concept, and I think you're absolutely correct, is that there's been a lot of data, but unless you can take that data and utilize it so it's actionable, right? So it's useful data that's really actionable is critical. So, you know, if you can go back to the primary care physicians and say, here are all the patients who haven't had an A1C, or here are the patients who you haven't done a BMI on, it's that information that they can then take action to reach out to those individuals and say, we need you to come in for your A1C, or you haven't had an eye exam, or whatever the different criteria that you're looking at. But you can take the information, identify who the patients are, and then work to, you know, proactively reach out to those individuals. I would say also useful data and the stratification. So you're looking at a population, and you can see it, different things that are taking place. So we might see that an individual is no longer taking their medicine. Well, we can reach out to that individual and say, hey, you know, Mr. Young, we see that you're not taking your medicine. We'd like to discuss why is that. So that's, again, you know, it's data that we have, but it allows us to use that data in a way to intervene with the patient so that we can optimize the quality of their life and care.
Another question for social determinants of health. Health systems are the largest employer in many communities. I think Hackensack Meridian is one of the largest employers in the entire state that you're in. The question I have for you is, there's this great question of, can health systems solve social determinants of health? Or even if they can't solve it, can they use data in a great way to help improve the lives of those people that have challenging issues from a social determinants of health perspective? What's the position of the health system? Is it trying to solve those problems, or is it more trying to use the great data to intervene more positively with people with difficult social determinants of health?
Yeah, so I really think it's twofold. I think one is using the data that we just discussed from a clinical perspective, but then understanding what the social issues are that may be driving some of the clinical outcomes. So it's really kind of taking the data that you have, also taking, you know, social determinant data. And, you know, the way we're thinking about it at Hackensack Meridian Health is there's really twofold. One is, how do we work on very specific populations of individuals who are at risk, and then reaching out to them with community health workers or individuals who go out from their community, meet with those individuals either in person or telephonically because of COVID-19, and understand what their needs are. And then working with that individual, the community health worker, working with a care coordinator who is a nurse and the primary care physician to really organize and structure a way using data to help that individual access care or services that they may need. Many situations, individuals who have social needs don't know where to go. They don't understand what the resources that may very well be right in their community. So what we're working in our model is that our care coordinators, our community health workers will work together in uniform with the primary care physician to coordinate and facilitate access to community-based resources around social needs. So we're very excited about that, because then you really get the synergies of clinical care and social needs to really optimize the well-being of the patient.
And let me ask you a question, a financial question. Is this entirely a net loss proposition for Hackensack Meridian, or is there some capitation? Is there some risk? Is there some place where there's at least some cost-benefit analysis for Hackensack Meridian, or is it just charitable great work and community work for the system?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of both. I mean, it's obviously fulfilling our mission to improve the quality of lives of people who live in New Jersey and the communities that we serve. So that's first and foremost. I'd say secondarily that, you know, if we can identify individuals and intervene early enough, we improve the quality of your life. We actually lower medical costs. And at the same time, you know, now that we're moving into more value-based arrangements, you know, we get rewarded for preventative and wellness and for keeping people out of the hospital. So if your contractual terms are structured in a way that you get incentivized for doing that, which really kind of makes sense, they're paying you for the value you provide. It really is a win-win for everyone, for the patient, for the health system, and for the community. And we think it's really the direction that the country is heading, and clearly a direction that we're doing, we're heading in our value-based arrangements.
Let me ask you a couple more questions. Virtual care, remote care exploded during COVID-19. What's the long-term prognosis for virtual and remote care? What do you see?
We believe that remote care is here to stay. We think that individuals have had enough experience with it, that they feel comfortable with it. You know, physicians like it. You know, there's always going to be a need to meet a caregiver in person. We understand that. But I think that, you know, access is the new word, you know, access. How quickly can I receive care on the terms that I want? You know, we've seen that with urgent clinics. We've seen it with mini clinics, the convenience of going in when they need the services. So I think this is just another extension of access, and that individuals will continue to utilize that service. And as it becomes more common, we believe it's going to continue to grow, and we're anticipating that.
And your role is president of population health. You're president of Population Health at one of the larger systems in the country today. how many systems do you actually have a president of population health? And this is something that only larger systems will be able to have. And what do you see when you look around the country at other people carrying that title?
Well, you're right. There's not many presidents of population health. I think that Bob Garrett had the foresight to recognize that, you know, value-based care was something that's evolving in the United States, that it's taken on a multitude of different areas of responsibility. So when I mentioned before about my responsibilities, because it really touches multiple areas in the organization. And if you're going to optimize the performance of those areas, you need to bring them together. I've been in conversations with a number of my counterparts. They might have different titles, but a lot of them are really focusing on population health. But it does mean different things to different organizations. I'm fortunate enough to work for Bob, who really understands what we need to do as an organization and recognizes the future and is giving myself and my team the ability to optimize what we need to do to really treat the whole patient, not only from a clinical perspective, but from a social perspective. And value-based contracting, value-based payment is here to stay. So the economics of healthcare are also driving some of the population health initiatives.
Well, fantastic. So the last question, any advice that you would have for somebody taking on this role of chief of population health? And I actually think you hit it exactly right in the foresight of your system and Bob Garrett and team to think this is where we have to go, and it's so important we need a leader in this role. And obviously you were a person that if they don't put you in that role, you're going to end up being CEO of some system. So it was a great talent decision too at Hackensack Meridian to put you in that role too and to create the role and grow the role. Any advice for other people that would be looking to be a chief population officer, what advice would you give them?
Well, I think that you just mentioned what's really critical is that the CEO and the board recognize the direction and the vision that we believe the HMH is going and the country is going. And, you know, in many organizations, there's a dichotomy around, you know, heads in beds, fill up the hospital, generate all the revenue. But as you start to evolve around value-based contracts and around preventative and wellness care, you have to really start thinking from a business perspective differently. And Hackensack Meridian Health has embraced that concept and has really allowed us the opportunity to really focus on improving the quality of care while lowering cost and ensuring the care is provided at the right time and at the right place. And I'm very fortunate to work there. So I think it's the organizational support that's really critical for anybody who's going into this field.
Patrick, I want to thank you for joining us today. Very insightful, really intelligent, and always a pleasure to visit with you. Thank you so much for joining the Becker's Healthcare Podcast and great work you're doing.
Thank you, Scott, and thank you for having me. I always appreciate coming on your podcast.